Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. Well, today we're going to talk about news and current events and the first hour, what's going on in the world around us, and perhaps what we can make of it. And in the second hour, we're going to look more specifically at prophecy and what we can expect at the turn of the millennium, which I'm not date setting here. You only set a date if you're a rapture believer, because they believe that Jesus will come back on such and such a day. But I don't have anything like that. All I have is history and prophecy and God's word. That's all I have to go on. And whatever that reveals to me, well, that's what it reveals to me. And it does reveal to me that we are nearing the end of the sixth millennium from the creation. And I believe that the seventh millennium will begin when the sixth millennium ends. It's even logical. So, and what year is that? Well, it's about 2055. I don't have an exact date or even year, but around there sometime is as close as I could get from following the chronology in the Bible, and then from the first century jumping off to the Roman calendar, and then you have different calendations, and you have things that are meshing, so you can't really get an exact day, or I don't even believe year, that we have it that close. And I'm not really interested in getting it exact. Not something I'm really interested in. Close enough is enough, is close enough for me. Okay, let's thank you all for showing up in the chat room, the few people that have logged in there. Good to see you there, you, whoever you are. Oh, it's Dale. And he says, I can't change my name, and I don't know why. You know, once you get your name changed, if you keep it in the same browser, it'll always come back. At least that's been my experience in the chat room there. So if you're using, or you're on your phone or something, I can't help you if you're on your smartphone. Because I don't even watch videos on my smartphone. I just talk and text on it. And that's about it. Yeah, really. And, oh, yeah, listen to podcasts. I do listen to stuff. So I've been listening to stuff on my pocket radio, you know, transistor radio, since the mid-60s. So that one's kind of stuck with me. Okay, well, what a mess we are in. We're coming up on a midterm election, they call it. And it should be a landslide, you would think, for the Republicans. And I think so, because the only thing that the Democrats are running on is killing babies and the overturn of Roe. Yeah. And Joe Biden was actually bragging about that. And we may look at that later. So that's all they've got, you know. But here, the fact is this, okay, only half of the people can kill their babies, because only about half of the people are women. So, and then probably of all those Democrat, liberal, fanatic women, probably a very few number of those, you know, have abortions. So you're talking a very, very small minority of people that are really concerned about the actual physical act of going down and having an abortion in their own neighborhood, because, you know, they want it really convenient, right? But the Democrats like to hype it up so that they get people to think that abortion is like the most important thing in the world. You know, killing your baby before it's born is very, very important to these people. And I can only say that they're so deceived, so thoroughly deceived, that it's not just enough that they can't have an abortion because they're men, or they're women who will never get pregnant. Most of them, when you think about it. So when I think about it, I think really that's not really a great motivation to go out and vote for anybody. Because if someone really wants an abortion and they're in a state where they, or a country where they can't get an abortion, well, you know, we have automobiles and planes and trains, you know, and then there are people who are so radical that they'll even pay for you to go from one state to another, or one country to another, to kill your child. They're so dedicated to child killing, to infant sacrifice, for whatever reason you sacrifice. But we all know that these sacrifices are evil and to demons, no doubt about it. Whether you call it Molech or not, that's what it's all about. Is you're sacrificing your child for convenience or money or fear or whatever reason, whatever it is that you place of more value than the life that is in the womb of the person whose child is going to be murdered. Yeah. The thing is, I look at prophecy, and I believe that America is the two-horned earth beast of Revelation 13. And I believe that if you go through my study, that you could come to that same conclusion very easily if you're willing to follow it through. Or at least, if you're honest, to accept that this is a viable thesis that cannot be excluded by the scripture. Because if it was excluded by the scripture, I would have found that. Yeah. Because that's one of my objects, that when I search the scripture and I consider a thesis or proposition or interpretation, when I consider it, my first attempt is, can I use the scripture to exclude it? That's the first test of any prophecy, is, honestly, can I use the scripture to exclude this thesis? And that's why I have eliminated things like the pre-tribulation rapture, because the scripture excludes it. I'm not going to be blinded by the idea that, and the lie. Okay, the first, there's the lie. The lie says that all of the calamity, if you've read the book of Revelation, have you read it? This is scary stuff, beginning at, you know, chapter 6 and the opening of the seals of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And from there, it just gets worse and worse and worse until you get to chapter 19, and it's like the end of the world. So they tell you that all of this is going to happen in the last 3.5 or 7 years. All of that. Oh, my. What can I do? Oh, you could believe in the rapture. And if you believe it, it will be true. And of course, since all this is going to happen at, you know, just in a couple of years, rather than, you know, over the last 2,000 years, all this calamity being spread out over 2,000 years, instead it's going to be crammed into 7 years or even 3.5, then God wouldn't want his people to go through that, would he? I mean, this is the proposition. You're being propositioned. That's what it is. When they proposition you with the 7-year tribulation and the rapture escape, you're being propositioned to accept a lie. They're selling you a false scenario. But hey, that's why the people believe the proposition that all of the calamity expressed in the entire book of Revelation is going to happen in 3.5 years. And you don't want to be around for that. I wouldn't want to be around for that. I say, you know, Jesus, take me home now. But be of good cheer. Don't fret. there's a secret rapture just for you and people who really believe in the rapture. Yeah. Because you don't want to be left behind. Because look how awful it's going to be. And that's the proposition they're selling you, when it's a totally false proposition. And why would they sell you this proposition? Why would anyone want to deceive God's people that way, and especially Protestants? Well, because all of those bad things aren't going to happen until the Antichrist is revealed. And since there is no Antichrist now, and we can't know who he is until that he's revealed and the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, it's just going to be awful. Could you imagine, my fellow believers, in living your life without the Holy Spirit? It would be just impossible. I mean, it's nearly impossible now, except for the power of God. It's impossible. But if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, it would be one huge fail, because, you know, the first work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life is that work of repentance. And if you ain't got that going on, you're lost. And that's really what it's all about. So if you study prophecy and history, then it's much easier to see what is going on in the world and to understand how things work. Because history, you know, they say repeats itself, and if it doesn't really repeat itself, it certainly rhymes. And that is true. And then when you realize, when you study history, and then you go through the Revelation, and you read, say, the Hori Apocalypticae, or my exposition of the Revelation, and you see how the history is matched up with the prophecy, and all of those things that the futurist dispensational doctrine puts into the last 3.5 years, you see how actually they are all found in history, most of them, because there are some things that must be fulfilled yet. And that's why I'm not worried about Jesus coming back. If someone said, when they said, in what was it, 2017, the alignment of the stars matched up with Revelation 12 and Jesus was coming back then, even though nothing, it says nothing like that. Another great disappointment, right? Yeah. And I could just say, it's not going to happen. I could say it with all the confidence in the world. And every date set that has come between then and now, or even before then and now, I can confidently say no. Because there are several key events, huge events, undeniable events that when they happen, you will know that they happened. They cannot be denied. Those events haven't happened yet. That's why they need a secret rapture. Because those events are going to happen after the rapture. And that's why the rapture is imminent. But the return of Christ is not. But since there's only one return of Christ, and that's how I excluded the rapture, by using the scripture, I excluded the proposition. And so I know there's not going to be any rapture, because there's only one resurrection event, and that's at the last trump. And that's when Jesus will return. So I know that it's all a lie. The whole 7-year tribulation, pre-tribulation rapture. And people are so, you know, sold out to it, that they become offended when they hear words like these coming out of my mouths. And they will argue with every conjecture. And I mean, there have been 10,000 conjectures to support the thesis. And so they will argue every one of those 10,000 conjectures, desperately wanting to hold on to their secret rapture, their secret escape, the one that they get, and so that they won't have to experience all of the wrath of the entire book of Revelation, all of the calamity, which has actually been happening since the turn of the second century. Because immediately, the things that shall shortly come to pass began to come to pass. And so, to say that chapter 13 of the Revelation and the two-horned earth beast is America, and getting back to what's happening today in America, it makes a lot of sense that we have this power struggle in this land between these two horns of power. Now, I've searched deeper and deeper into the horns of power, and you all know that I wrote my book, The Beast Apocalyptic, which helped me, just doing that study and writing that book, helped me to clarify and see the horn symbol much clearer. Okay? That the horns represent a division in the land that the beast represents. Like the sea beast represents Western Europe. And the 10 horns represented 10 divisions. And even John, when he received the revelation, and he was given the revelation, it was told to him that the 10 horns had received no power as yet. So you're going, now this is 95 AD that John is receiving this revelation of the 10-horned beast. Now the beast already existed because it was the one is present with John, the Roman Empire. But the 10 divisions had received no power as yet. But the 10 divisions were mentioned 1,000 years before that by Daniel. Is that 1,000 years? Well, nearly 1,000 years before that, by Daniel. Maybe not 1,000, but you get it. It's 490 years. So it's like 600 years before that. Daniel gives a prophecy of the same beast power with 10 horns. Now the 10 horns were there. What did they represent? Well, they represented divisions in the land. Divisions of power, the potential power divisions, because even 600 or so years later, when John, 600-700 years later, when John received the revelation, he was told that they had received no powers yet, but they would receive power 1 hour with the beast. And when you search out that, the 1 hour, and it's given several ways, it really means that a short time each of the 10 horns would receive power with the beast, or that their power would be diminished by the beast and whoever, whichever horn is controlling the beast. But that's part of the study. So anyway, we move forward and we apply all that we've learned about the horns to the two-horned earth beast. And we are given two descriptions immediately with the horns. It had 2 horns, the earth beast, the beast that rose up out of the earth, had 2 horns. That's what it says. And it says, like a lamb, and it spake as a dragon. And those are the divisions of power. I believe those two expressions, like a lamb, and speaks as a dragon, are the divisions that we should look for when we're looking for a division of power in this earth beast. And we have it today. We've had it since the beginning. It's become more pronounced and clear today than ever before, this constant power struggle between the lamb-like qualities, the lamb-like portion or division of power in this great nation, and the dragon-speaking division. Now, there's a great divide and a great difference between how these two act and represent themselves and carry themselves and what they're able to do and what they will not do. When you think about it, a lamb-like, is Christ-like. This is not an aggressive animal, because a lamb is an immature sheep. It's not a mature ram like the ram and the he-goat of the past when Medo-Persia and Greece butted heads in Daniel's time, which Daniel wrote about. No, this is like a lamb, an immature sheep. That's what it says. That's all it means. And the other one is dragon speaking. And so it's become clear today. You can see who's dragon speaking, because they lie, they cheat, they steal, they kill, and they destroy. And they're doing a good job of it, are they not? And it's more pronounced than ever before. Meanwhile, the lamb-like side watched them steal an election. And what could they do about it? They complained. They wanted to do something about it. But the dragon-speaking side, the portion or division of power, they have the power right now. Why? Because they lie, they cheat, they steal, they kill. And they're destroying the nation to maintain their power. Because this is, they're working for the dragon. They're working for his Antichrist and the shadow government that works for the Antichrist, to destroy the nation so that they can gain power. And this is the way the Antichrist and his shadow government has worked for century upon century, to go in and destroy, to steal, to corrupt, whatever it takes to gain power in a nation. And that's why everything, everywhere we turn in the news, it's like I have a headline here, what happens when the Democrats lose big, or it says bigly here. The Republican capture of Congress will necessitate a response. Well, let's check that article out. It says, cast your mind back to 2020. Before the November presidential election, the nation's cities were convulsed by riots. Riots spread by leftist provocateurs, facilitated by Democrat mayors, and condoned by congressional Democrats. And it goes on, George Floyd's death was an excuse. Mayhem was a regular feature for months in the news. This is what they do. This is what they did to win an election. And they either duped, or Trump was part of it. Was he a knowing part? Was he duped? Was he used and manipulated? I don't know. I hope so, for the sake of his own soul. But we need to know. We need to find out. You know, because this guy may become president again in 2 years. But what is going to happen? How are the Democrats going to react when this happens? And what will be the response? Now, these are things that are kind of frightening in America. But keep in mind what we've been talking about, the division of power and how we have to react. Okay, we're going to go into a break here. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. What happens when the Democrats lose big? Now, I'm not sure that the midterm election obviously is not going to be the same as the next election, or was the as this, or will be the same as the election a mere 2 years ago. Let's see. Mayhem was a regular feature for months in the news. Some Democrats expressed guarded sympathy for rioters. Most others stayed silent. Silence lends consent, and Antifa and BLM got plenty of it. Regardless, the argument went that in the name of racial justice, it was virtuous to loot, target, ransack and burn small businesses, and kill. Among the murdered was a retired St. Louis police captain, David Dorn. Dorn, a black man, was murdered by a BLM thug while guarding a friend's business. Only half-wit Kamala Harris spilled the beans. The riots would continue until the goal was achieved, defeating Donald Trump and installing dementia sufferer Joe Biden in the White House were requisite. Scared voters went, the reasoning were Democrats. When Biden won the election, number of fraudulent votes undetermined, the rioting ceased as if by magic. Or was that by pre-arrangement? Now the midterm election voting is underway, and less than 3 weeks remain until the marathon ends. Though, in blue jurisdictions, counting will continue until Democrats find enough votes to eke out wins. Is that what we're looking at? I mean, how many Republicans are watching? How many Republicans are counting the votes? And I don't know. It seems hopeless when you think about it, for there to be any true Democrat vote. Because when you really think about it, there's no way that anyone could vote to keep what is happening in America going, that at least a majority of people that are voting and intelligent enough to vote, I'd think, would not vote for more of the same. I mean, how delusional can you be to be voting for more of the same? And so we'll see what happens. They're saying, but the cheating, you know, the dragon speaking side, they will always cheat. We cannot stop them from cheating. And it seems even though they cheat openly, that there's not much that anybody can do about it. Because, you know, now, I mean, I just got another strike on my YouTube account, my Prophecy Reality YouTube account, about voter misinformation or vote denying or whatever from a 2020 video that I broadcast that I did back in 2020 about this time of the year, 2 years ago. They gave me a strike now for that. So they're still hitting hard on this vote denier thing. And see, you're not allowed to deny that the elections are trustworthy unless you're a losing Democrat. But if you're a Republican or otherwise and you lose, you're not allowed to deny it. That's because the Democrats are in charge. But when the Republicans get in charge, I mean, they do nothing when they lose. It is very frustrating to watch this go on. And I'm glad that, that my hope is not in the elections of men and who gets into office, because God is allowing what he's allowing. But what should we do about it? Well, I believe we resist till the very end. So the question is, okay, so let's say Trump runs again in 2024. Will it be the same? Will they have another lockdown? We can only live and find out and see what happens. That's about it. Oh, forgot about that. Well, let's see if someone is actually calling us here. Your name and where are you calling from? Well. Someone lost their voice again. Okay, so let's see what else we got here as far as in the news. See, end of the line for Black Lives Matter. Yes, see Candace Owens and somebody else just put out a book or a documentary on Black Lives Matter. So it may be the end of them. We could only hope. One more Marxist organization bites the dust. I mean, but there are still people out there believing in it because they want to believe in it so badly, just like the pre-trib rapturists want to believe in the rapture so badly that they cannot shake the delusion. Do Russian sanctions work? Yes, they do. They are destroying the West, and I believe that's what they are intended to do. Remember when Joe Biden promised to fire Alejandro Mayorkas? Nope, I don't remember that. Okay, what's wrong with the American College of Emergency Physicians? This year's annual meeting of the American College of Emergency Physicians clearly reveals that the organization is no longer interested in your health or well-being. Well, that's obvious. And what's the count for young Canadian doctors now, I think, and it's not funny. And sometimes we laugh or chuckle because it's kind of a mechanism that, I don't know, because we're maybe in denial. Yeah. Because it's so horrendous what is going on. But the number of doctors is past 80 now in Canada. Young doctors, doctors of every age, young and old, interns, nurses, just dropping dead. And I hear there's Stu Peters that they're producing over there with his team, movie called Died Suddenly. Yeah, about all the sudden death, the SADS, sudden adult death syndrome, yeah, that's happening. So I think it's going to be difficult. I know that, you know, it may be disappointing for the eugenicists out there, Bill Gates and his ilk, and that people are not excited about taking any vaccines anymore for the most part. Yeah, that's the number that I got, Dale, in the chat room. More than 80. You can, it's out there. The numbers are out there. I think Stu Peters covered it earlier this week and several other outlets that the number has grown to more than 80 doctors, young doctors of any age, suffering from the jab, especially after like the third and the fourth jab that they died suddenly. Yeah, you know, sudden death. Sudden adult death syndrome is a new thing. But sudden childhood death syndrome is up too. Yeah, it's just sudden death for people who took the jab syndrome. That's what we ought to call it. You know, sudden adult death syndrome for people that have been jabbed. Because that's what it really boils down to. If you took the mRNA jab, you may die suddenly. Get your D-dimer test, and you'll know what's going on. You'll know. You might have been lucky if you took the first jab and it was a placebo, and you're walking around, nothing happened to me. Look, everybody, take it. Nothing. Feel great. Yeah, of course you do. Or if you're smart, you won't take another one. That's for sure. Oh, and I heard something that's really kind of bothering me now, is that they're giving mRNA shots because people won't take them. So now they're shooting up cattle with them. And I'm going, what? You heard about this sudden death? Remember a few months ago when so many cattle died out? And I think I'm starting to put two and two together here. That they gave these cattle the mRNA jab and they all died. Remember the picture of all the dead cattle, you know, because they bloat and they turn upside down and all their feet are sticking up in the air. And then they use a bulldozer to push them all together. So it makes quite a memorable picture in your mind. Yeah. And they're going, oh, what's going on? They're attacking the food chain and all that stuff. And yeah, they're doing that too, because anything to, you know, kill, steal, and destroy. That's the dragon speaking power. Because they speak and people listen and do what they say. It's amazing. There's so many deluded people. I mean, if you have half of the people, you know, under your control, and then say one third of the people robotically influenced to do whatever you say, because that's the way it seems to work out, that one third of the people are robotically influenced, like, you know, it doesn't matter. Just like the rapture believers, these people will believe, do anything the liberals say because they are true believers. The same kind of delusion, though, too. Because they really believe that democracy is in danger if we vote in Republicans now. Because why do they believe that? Well, simply because, you know, their leaders say it, so they believe anything their leaders say. I mean, they ran to get the shot. And then a lot of people were duped, a lot of well-meaning and people that could actually think, because they thought, well, you know, this is just like the past, you know, and vaccine. And so if I want to go see my granny, then I got to take the shot. I mean, I actually know a guy. I met him. He used to deliver my water before I got my well in. And he actually, so he could visit his grandma, he got the shot. And I'm thinking, because he really hasn't suffered any effects from it. So I told him, you likely got one of the placebo shots, dude. Because you like, he says he's not taking another one, though. Because his eyes have been opened. And he's not a stupid man. Besides, yeah. He's a very intelligent man. Spent many sessions just out there because it takes a while to fill a 2,500-gallon tank of water. So we'd be out there chatting the whole time. Okay, let's see. What else do we got in the news here? Oh, let's look at another tab here. Oh, yes. We have a religious news service. I've subscribed to their email, but I would never give them any money. These people are about as liberal as they come. It's just, they're now talking about Halloween. When it comes to Halloween, pastors have opinions, according to new survey. But, you know, there's nothing in here about Reformation Day. Yeah. I don't know if there will be anything. Unless, of course, you know, I'll bet you, I don't know if they've been around since 2017, but I'll bet you in 2017, they had Pope Francis speaks at Lutheran Church in Wittenberg, celebrating the Reformation with Protestants on the quincentennial Reformation celebration, because that did happen. Yeah. What a shame that it did happen. But somebody did stand up and shout out what an abomination it was during the service. So we got to give our kudos to that one woman who stood up and made notice of it. But anyway, religious news service, if you want to know what the world and the religion news, what they believe religious news is. But Pope Francis extends synod to 2024, urging participation, patience. I love this. The deadline for a large-scale consultation of Catholics on the future of the church has been moved to 2024, to October 2024. So that's the big news. Yeah, nothing about the Reformation. And, yes, another Reformation Day. So, like here, churches, how many churches are celebrating Reformation Day instead of Halloween? Yeah, no articles like that. So that's religious news service. So you have to read everything they print with a grain of salt. But it's amazing when I go to the comments, you can tell that likely 90% of the comments are people pushing back against the liberalness of the articles that they write. So it's kind of interesting to see that pushback, that most of the people reading the articles are opposed to what they're pushing and their liberal agenda. Okay, let's see what else we got here. COVID and death, the death of billions. Yes. I believe that we're already in the billions from the death on the COVID jab, the so-called, you know, pseudo-vaccine, not really a vaccine. And they've already admitted that the vaccine now gives you COVID, because it gives you, the spike protein is the COVID disease. And if the mRNA vaccine, you know, I hate to use that word for it, but that's what they call it. The mRNA jab programs you, your body, your DNA to produce the spike protein. The spike protein is COVID. And I don't know. I believe it's telling your body to create this. Is this what all these causing all these blood clots and this construct that they're pulling out of people's veins that are clogging up their veins? Is that spike protein construct being built inside their veins that are clogging them up and causing blood clots and constricting the flow of their blood? Is it, and not to mention that people are, that babies are being killed and diseases are being amplified by this shot also. Yeah. So the death of billions, yeah, probably has surpassed a billion so far. Your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike, Akron, Ohio.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? I just had a quick comment about the vaccine.
Okay.
I visited my mother at the nursing home the other day. I usually go once or twice a week. And I told the head nurse who's a really good guy, that I do not want her to receive any more boosters or any vaccines of any kind unless they talk to me first, they call me first.
Right.
Could he please put that in her chart? And he said, absolutely. And he said, by the way, and he kind of looked around because there were a few people in the lobby when I was talking to him.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of looked around real quick, and then he said in a low voice, he said, I agree with you. So, I mean, a lot of medical professionals know that this thing is dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not what they're telling us.
Yeah, well, they have to know by now with all the medical personnel dropping dead.
Oh, yeah, athletes, people in the military.
Yeah.
Pastors. You know, but anyway, I just had that quick comment. I'll let you get back to it.
Okay, Mike. Thanks.
Alrighty, buddy. Bye.
Bye. Oh, yes. So the COVID death and the death of billions. This is an article on Lou Rockwell. Let's take a look at it here. During the last year or more, nearly all our mainstream media outlets have regularly ridiculed and denounced China for its stubborn adherence to zero COVID policy, whereas most of the West has chosen to live with COVID. China has worked to immediately stamp out any pinprick viral outbreaks through an increasingly burdensome regime of regular testing and swift lockdowns. But a new development now suggests the Chinese approach may not have been as completely irrational as our media claimed. As most people know, the Omicron... Well, is this guy a believer or what? Yeah, the Omicron strain of COVID is extremely contagious, but also very mild. Oh, it's like the flu. Yeah. And I think that's all they did is that they replaced the flu with COVID, because flu deaths went to zero. Yeah, well, practically zero, relatively speaking, and COVID took its place. And its rapid spread has been one major reason for sharp decline in COVID deaths worldwide. Even the earliest strains of COVID were only moderately lethal, with estimates placing the fatality rate at one. This guy's delusional. The writer of this article is delusional. He still believes that the COVID deaths are anything but regular flu deaths, because the flu disappeared magically for 1 year. I don't think so. Yeah, they just relabeled COVID deaths, flu deaths, otherwise there would have been no pandemic, because they had to have some death in order to have a pandemic. So they just simply relabeled the flu, and of course the PCR tests is all not what 90 whatever percent false positives. That'll give you what you want if that's what you're looking for. Okay, so anyway, even in Lou Rockwell, they have deluded writers who are still believing the big lie about the COVID thing. And I don't see where he's going with this article in China. You know, I believe China is just doing what totalitarian dictators do to maintain control. The Chinese Communist Party, they're scared to death to lose control of their country, to lose their totalitarian grip. And this is just one tool in their tool belt, okay, to retain that grip of control on their country. That's what's really going on in China. The whole flu thing is nothing but a flu, and COVID is... They've never even isolated the virus yet. Well, it was a computer-generated facsimile of a virus is what they've used to look for in these PCR tests. What a fraud. What a travesty the whole thing has been. So the result was a new hybrid COVID strain that was both exceptionally contagious and also killed. So this guy, whoever is writing this article, just is carrying on with the whole ruse of a COVID. I'm not even going to go read any more of this guy's article. Okay, Biden regime extends invented public health emergency when no real one exists. See, now there's no delusion there. Extends invented public health emergency. You know the one that Donald Trump started in 2020? Yes, that has been extended every year now since 2020. 2021, 2022, and they're extending it every time they need to extend it. Because emergencies have to run out after a certain amount of time, don't they? Isn't there a time when emergency is not an emergency anymore? Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, that's 1 hour gone by, flown by there. And I think I'm going to try to stick more to prophecy in the next hour. And if I can stick to prophecy... And we'll see what happens. I'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded. It has been borrowed. It has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And before we jump directly into prophecy here, I wanted to discuss this article that I found in Yahoo Finance. It's pretty mainstream if you can find something on Yahoo Finance. But it says, Fed's instant payment service, FedNow, set to launch by July 2023. The Federal Reserve is on track to deliver an instant payment service called FedNow between May and July of 2023. The central bank's clearest timeline yet for a new system enabling settlement of U.S. payments in seconds. The FedNow service also potentially negates the need for the creation of a central bank digital currency, or CBDC. Whoops! What? What they're talking about is a central bank. The Fed is a central bank. It's the central bank of the United States. They got this by coup in 1913. I call it the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury. Yes, they pulled it off, on Christmas Eve in 1913. Yes. Okay. So they say it potentially negates the need for the creation of a central bank digital currency, but it is a central bank digital currency because they are the central bank and it is digital because that's the only way you can do it in seconds is with digits on a computer without cash. But see, now this scary thing that when people think about CBDC and why we don't want it in the New World Order or the Antichrist shadow government, 2030 march to the mark of the beast. That's where we're headed. That's where it's all headed. But they say by 2023, they're going to start it. But it's telling because you keep reading on. Quote, the FedNow service will transform the way everyday payments are made throughout the economy. Now, this is the bright lights and the nice, cheerful, peaceful, calm music playing in the background, because this is like, you're supposed to believe that this is utopia and heaven when they're saying these words to you. Okay. The FedNow service will transform the way everyday payments are made throughout the economy, bringing substantial gains to households and businesses through the ability to send instant payments at any time on any day, the funds being immediately available to recipients to make other payments or manage cash flow efficiently, said Fed Vice Chair Lael Brainard in a speech. Okay, well, this all sounds very good, but it's all BS. And I mean, I can deconstruct what he said here just instantly. Because he says it will bring substantial gains to households and businesses. Oh, we must have it if it's going to bring substantial gains to households and businesses, because that's us. That's the people. And we want substantial gains, do we not? And CBDC or FedNow will bring it. Yeah, it's a pipe dream. There are no substantial gains to households and businesses by this. And I'll tell you why. Because it only happens once. Okay? It doesn't bring you more money. It just brings it to you sooner. Once. And then after that, it keeps happening at the same rate that what it would have happened on a little more delayed effect. So there is no substantial gains. He says substantial gains. There's no gain at all, let alone a substantial gain. What? You can hurry up and spend your money quicker? You're not going to get more money. You're going to get the same money. Instead of 24 hours, you're going to get it in 24 minutes. Yeah. The only substantial gain will be in methods of defrauding the system. And the whole system is a fraud anyway, so. So that's how they sell these things. And people just, they say these nice words that they've, you know, paid people to craft for them. And this is what they call it, word craft. Spell, casting a spell by spelling. By crafting words in such ways as to make you think you're getting utopia. And they're selling you something that they want, but telling you that you're going to gain something by it when you're not going to gain anything. You're actually, all you're going to do is lose your liberty, your privacy. And they're just going to gain more control over you. So there's no win here for the people, the households and businesses. There's no substantial gain to the households and businesses. There is a substantial gain in their control over households and businesses. That's where the substantial gain is in CBDC. And now they're trying to tell you, oh, it's not going to be CBDC. It already is. It's central bank and it's digital currency. It's already what? I don't know what the percentage is of transactions in the United States are already central bank digital currency through the mechanisms they're using, credit cards, and the mechanisms are a little slower than everything that being done instantly through one central bank. But the effect, there's no gain. There's no substantial gain, not to the people, not to the households and the businesses. And also they add this, the Fed has been testing the system with a limited number of banks and institutions. But Brainard called on financial institutions, service providers, and software companies to adopt the FedNow service now to ensure the system will work smoothly come next spring. So actually, we're not waiting till next spring. You can adopt it now. So the whole article and the date and everything is a ruse. It's nothing. All it is a sales pitch for something that they're pushing through incrementally and have been pushing through incrementally since 1988 when they wrote their article in an economic magazine The Economist magazine. Yes. And we've talked about that article before. Only they had set a date at 2018. Now the date is 2030. Okay? It's the 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast continues on. And prophecy is being fulfilled. Oh, the finale here. Quoting again, Brainerd, he says, "The time is now for all key stakeholders." That's not you and me. That's big corporations and everyone who's behind and involved in the Great Reset. They are the stakeholders. You are not. Bill Gates is a stakeholder. The WHO is a stakeholder. You know, we are not the stakeholders, people. They're the stakeholders. You and me, we will own nothing. And you will be happy whether you like it or not. That's their plan. Yes, it is now time for all stakeholders to devote the resources necessary to support instant payments, said Brainerd. Get on the ball. What are you people waiting for? This is Brainerd. Federal Reserve Board Lael Brainerd testifies before Senate Banking Committee hearing on her nomination to be vice chair of the Federal Reserve on Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., January 2022. FedNow, which will enable consumers and businesses to send payments instantly, could offer some of the same benefits as central bank digital currency. It is, you know, why? How can it offer some of the same benefits as central bank digital currency? Because it is central bank digital currency. Okay, well, enough on that. You see how this is working. You see where this is all going. So my advice, resist, use cash as much as you can. When you go into the store and the cashier says, "Would you like some cash back?" Say, "Yes. Give me that cash back." Go to the bank on payday. Even if they send your check, check digitally to your bank, because a lot of them are doing that now, it's required. You want your job, you want your pay. So go to the bank and take some cash out on payday and use it, you know, to exercise your liberty, your right to privacy, to spend on whatever you want, whenever you want. And one more kind of scary thing, which I thought of earlier and I was going to say earlier, and we'll use this last segment to jump into purely prophecy, because this news is kind of scary news. Or did I already say that and forget that I said it? Did I say that? You'll tell me in the chat room if I said it already, or did I just think about it? That they're injecting cows with mRNA. Yes, I did say that in the beginning. Now, the scary thing about that, I don't believe that I elaborated on that. The scary thing about that is that if you like your meat red and rare, and your cow, what if they figure out how to inject the cow with mRNA? Because I saw an article this week on it, and I didn't save the article. I was in a place where I couldn't save it. But you might look into it, injecting cattle with mRNA, and see where that's leading. Have they developed an mRNA that will only kill you and not the cow? Yeah. It's a scary thought to think that, you know, you're going to get your rare steak, and it's going to have some active mRNA in it. But still, it has to go through your digestive system. So it's not as scary as them injecting it into your bloodstream. It becomes problematic because your digestive system is quite designed for your safety and your health, unless you become unhealthy. Yeah, gut health is very important in this case. But it's just something to think about, which I'm going to have to look deeper into, mRNA and cattle, and were those cattle killed because they were injecting them. And I just saw another article. They tested chickens for COVID, and now they're killing more chickens, egg-laying chickens or meat chickens. It doesn't matter. They just want to kill as many of us as they can, and one way is to destroy our food chain, and especially inexpensive meat like chickens and inexpensive protein like eggs. That's why your eggs are now $4 a dozen instead of 89 cents or $1 a dozen. Yeah. The eggs have quite gone up. I have my own chickens and my own eggs here. I don't have to buy eggs. I have a couple dozen layers. So, at least I have good protein. I'm working on the meat. Anyway, and I saw another article, which I wanted to talk about. And an A-mill has come up with a new scheme. Historically, A-mill, very popular reformed preacher or teacher. I guess he's a pastor and a teacher. He's developed a new A-mill that he's developed it to bring A-mill and pre-mill together. And so perhaps we'll talk about that when we come back after some messages. Got about 10 minutes in this session left, in this section left. Any questions in the chat room? Let's see. Fireman Mike says, exactly. Oh, they're having a conversation here in the chat room. So you're supposed to call in and have this conversation with me. Now I have to read. Let's see, we have Dale Corporate in the chat room, and my, what do you call it? What is that called there? The live traffic feed is not working in my chat room anyway. Maybe it's working in yours. And we have Tom W. Good to see you, Tom. You're probably just listening. And Fireman Mike, of course, called in earlier. So good to see the few people in the chat room. If you can't be in the chat room because a lot of people just listen on their app, I hope everyone's enjoying the First Amendment Radio app, or it's a Prophecy Reality News app on Android. We don't have it on Apple. On Apple, and I really believe I've got used to using the First Amendment radio.net/Mobi. It's a web-based app for First Amendment Radio. And it's better because all of the podcasts are available on the same page. I need to update it so people can give on the app itself. And I believe you can give on the other app. It's just, you know, you have to go through all these menus and stuff. It's a little difficult and something I really need to pay attention to, because when it comes to the web work, well, that's on me too. And that's in, if you, now you know why our web presence is so, yeah, 2000s. It's not up to 2020, 22 snuff, or 2022 snuff. Yeah, that's, it's not up to date as far as web presence is concerned, but it works. That's it's more important. The programs that we have are more important than our web presence, I believe. And most people that listen to First Amendment Radio daily and are being edified and informed of the news and current events would agree with me that the most important thing is what they hear with their ears while they're working, and the programs, both Bible teaching and news programs, of which we have several, keeping us informed as to what's going on. And of course, David Knight is on vacation now, so we've been doing reruns of his the week before's program. But hey, I've been listening and hearing things I really didn't hear last week, because when you're working and listening, You don't hear everything, because you have to do some concentration on your work, even if you have a repetitive job or a lot of your work can be done on kind of automatic pilot. You still have to be somewhat conscious enough to pull yourself away from what you're listening and concentrate on your work. I understand that because as a carpenter, that's what I did for many years. I listened to Christian teaching, talk, radio, and even music, rather than the idolatry of romance music, which is all I got when I was on commercial projects, especially union projects, because it would be always a minority of the people that were, you know, truly Christian. And so we would have to listen to the idolatry of pop, you know, romance, the sexual attraction between a man and a woman idolatry thing going on most of the time. And you all know what I'm talking about if you've ever listen to pop music or worked on a job site where that's all they played all the time. After a while, the songs would be going in your mind, you know. Yeah, you can't help but hear them and remember some of those tunes and stuff, and or even be attracted. But now you can have your own earbuds, I guess. But some places don't allow that. Yeah, some workspaces don't allow that. Well, let's see, what else do we have here? Okay, well, that was the Yahoo Finance. And what's up? Okay, got a few minutes here. Now let's look at the Babylon Bee. See, top 10 achievements Democrats can tout going into the midterms. All right, well, let's see what they got here, whether any of this is funny at all. One, the standard of living is up 500% among Ukrainian politicians. Wow, good for them. Yeah, see, we don't get, you know, to make our own energy. How about instead of $500 billion for Ukraine, how about $500 billion to fill our reserves and, say, build a couple or a half a dozen oil refining plants scattered around the U.S. for the safety of the American people. That way, if one of them goes down, you know, we got six more working. That would make a lot. I would like to see someone run on that platform. America becomes energy independent and we diversify our oil refineries throughout the United States. Not bigger ones, but a bunch of smaller ones. Yeah, that might be a good idea. Who's saying that? Who's running for Congress or the Senate? Your name and where are you calling from? What a disappointment. Yes, indeed. Okay, well, let's see. Hilarious memes of Biden eating ice cream have increased 40%. Experts agree that laughter improves lifespan. Yes, maybe Joe Biden's laughing at himself, and that's why he hasn't died yet. And I don't believe for a minute that Joe Biden has taken the jab. I believe he has gotten placebos every time, but he probably believes that he has taken the jab. I would believe that. Okay, number three. Thousands of Americans have been saved from the threat of seeing somebody pray in front of an abortion clinic. By arresting pro-lifers, the FBI is finally doing what they were designed to do. Yeah, the unchartered FBI. So now whoever runs for Congress or Senate, we need to abolish the FBI. Well, what do we need it? We already have a, what do you call it, Department of Homeland Security. Do we really need an FBI anymore? I say let's get rid of them. Yeah. Do away with the FBI. Let the Department of Homeland Security take over that function, since we have that now. Before, we were saying, we already got the FBI. What do we need the Department of Homeland Security for? Well, because we need more central policing powers for the Fed, because that's what the Antichrist wants. That's really what it's all about. We got the CIA, we got the FBI, we got Department of Homeland Security. And they want more of that to concentrate power in Washington, D.C., where the Antichrist can do whatever the heck he wants in the land of the free, in the home of the, well, now slaves. Okay. That Paw Patrol movie was actually pretty okay. Better than The Rings of Power, anyway. I don't get that one. And what the Democrats have to do with it. Is that what we're talking about? Yeah. Yes. Thousands of Americans, let's see, you've learned to appreciate the taste of bulk ramen. And we're running out of time. And, well, anyway, you can check out Sometimes Babylon B is Funny, and sometimes they're not. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening Across the Border. This is a Live Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in this segment, we're going to talk about the millennium and what happens when Christ returns. Someone sent me this video here somehow, and about this guy here. His name is Tom Schreiner is his name, the guy on the right here. This other guy is just some guy who has a podcast and does little clips, little short, calls his podcast Bible Dingers. So if you're interested in dinging the Bible, you might want to listen to him. But I like to go a little deeper myself than Bible dinging. But anyway, he interviewed Thomas Schreiner. So he's probably very popular. Yeah, more popular than yours truly. But that doesn't take much. And the question is, why did you leave the A-mill camp for historic pre-mill? So historic pre-mill is not historicism, okay? Because they don't believe anything before that. They believe in an idealism interpretation of prophecy. So it's not really historic, but they call it historic pre-mill, even though there's nothing historic about it. The name was attached to it quite recently to this view. But on the millennium itself, they're pretty much in line with what I believe as a historicist on the millennium itself. So anything before the millennium, they idealize it, practically speaking. And they call it the historic pre-mill for some reason. It's a misnomer. But anyway, this guy here, Schreiner, I was listening to him, and I got a quote down here. I put it in a comment. Quite the admission coming from an A-mill with expressed separation anxiety. Because if you listen to this video, and perhaps for those of you in the chat room, I'll put a link here and in the posting when I post this program later. I'll put a link with the post so you can check out the video for yourself. And, of course, after the broadcast or pause the broadcast, whatever the case may be. But I'm going to give you the quote. But he expresses quite vigorously his separation anxiety with amillennialism. And like, I really like amillennialism type of thing. It's kind of humorous to watch. Okay. And so I quote him here. Quite the admission coming from the A-mill with expressed separation anxiety. And I quote A-mill, I quote him. And the timestamp is there too, so you can hear it out of his own voice. A-mill saying the coming to life in chapter 20, verse 4, means coming to life. The main view now is in the intermediate state. And because it says that those who were beheaded for the witness of Christ, etc., okay, all of the elect, basically, coming to life, to say that that's not a literal resurrection as it is expressed is not believable, is what he's saying now here in his admission, saying to coming to life, they came to life, it says in chapter 20, verse 4, means coming to life. Main view now is in the intermediate state. And they always say disembodied souls. They add disembodied before souls in the same text. He says, I just don't think that's very convincing in terms of what the resurrection is. And that was my point, basically, that I made in my book, The Amillennial, The Millennium Question, is that the resurrection does not support anything but an in-kind bodily resurrection that is preceded by a bodily death. And that is the only way the term is used in the whole of the New Testament everywhere. And to come to chapter 20 and verse 4 and say that suddenly it's something else is not very convincing. But that's what the A-mills are doing. So this guy's waking up going, this really doesn't work. And we're looking like idiots here. So I got an email saying this. I just don't think it's very convincing in terms of what the resurrection is. Yes. So you see. And that Satan being thrown into the abyss and with the chain refers to what happened at the cross. So now he's talking about the binding of Satan too. He says, I think that's possible. And I go, yeah, it's possible, but scripture doesn't support it. But I think it's less likely. It's more likely it means what it says than that it means something else. That's what he's saying. He's just coming to that realization, which all A. Mills should come to that realization. But I think it's less likely. So I think that's the problem with the A. Mill view. Now, this coming from an A. Mill. So he proposes a new view. Okay? And I say two steps closer to the truth. So he expresses, you know, two clear problems right there in chapter 20, verse 4, that are problematic for the A. Mill. And I would say I couldn't have expressed it better, but I have in my book much better, because he still seems like he just doesn't know what to do about it, because he expresses so much separation anxiety with the A. Mill camp that it's hard for him to admit it. But then he says this, and I quote him exactly here in this quote. And maybe I'll just put this whole thing over here in the chat room so you all can have what, I mean, it's there on that YouTube page too, but anyway. So the whole thing is there now, since nobody else is putting much into the chat room. Oh, good to see you, Sean. I'm glad you could show up in the chat room. But anyway, there's my answer to him. It is the duty of every true Christian, especially the A. Mill proponent and teacher, to attempt to first harmonize all of the texts that they instead conjecture for its overthrow with Revelation 20. They go to great ends and great efforts to conjecture the overthrow of Revelation 20 millennium by taking parts and pieces and pasting them together, conjecturing an overthrow for Revelation 20 instead of harmonizing those texts with Revelation 20, which is what I do. I go, well, Revelation 20 came later. It is the more complete revelation, and I am able to easily harmonize everything that came before it with it. See, because Revelation 20 gives me the first chronology of where all of these things, and it shows me where all of the things fit in, that they're trying to lump into one day. And say, well, it can't be that, because it all happens on the day that Jesus returns. No! Revelation shows us where everything that they're trying to squeeze in to the day of God or the day of the Lord, which 2 Peter 3 tells us is 1,000 years, expressly. Remember, be not ignorant of this one thing, Peter says, in context of the millennium. And all of those things are given their place and harmonized with Revelation 20. And they have their place. Like we know, the new heaven and the new earth doesn't happen immediately. And the white throne judgment, it doesn't all happen on one day when Jesus returns. So anyway, this guy's new prospect, he says he's writing a book on it. I'd like to get a hold of him before he does, but unless I become a pop Bible dinger or something, he'll probably never talk to me. So anyway, I haven't even found a way to contact him to send him a copy of my book. But anyway, we'll see where he ends up. He says he's writing a book and doing an exposition on the Revelation. Well, I hope he doesn't do it too soon, because it seems like, just from what he's saying here in this 5-minute clip, that he's got a lot to work through. Anyway, enough on that. he wants to put the new heaven and new earth. And what he was kind of saying, to quickly synopsize it, and you can listen to him for yourself, is he wants to say that the millennium is the first installment of the eternal state. So he wants to, still needs to do away with mortals in the millennium and stuff like that. And that being the case, it's really just a different view of amillennialism, is all he's saying. Because the eternal state is an eternal state. It doesn't have ages. Like the creation, the 7,000 years of the creation has different ages in it. And we are in this age, and the age to come is the millennial age. Yeah. Okay, so I have a question. And the question is, when Christ comes back, I just want to kind of brainstorm with you and the chat room and listeners into what is it going to be like, and how much of what we have heard is the truth or half truth, or maybe has some truth in it that we can kind of keep piece together what's going to happen when Christ returns. First, we know the last trump sounds. There is no pre-tribulation rapture. The last trump sounds, and the tribulation of the days preceding Christ comes to an end. Okay? And we join him in the air. And we return with him to the earth. So where does he set down on the earth? Okay? And what happens? And we're with him for how long? While the battle of Armageddon is being, the stage is being set for the Battle of Armageddon. What are we doing during that time? Are we going to be worried about what the world, what is going on in the world? Or are we going to be more concentrated on the King of Kings and the family of God? And I'm beginning to think, you know, how the rapturists have us going away to heaven for a 7-year marriage supper of the Lamb. That's total fantasy. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. Oh, yes, there is a marriage supper of the Lamb, but it being in heaven for 7 years, that's a total speculative construct. And since I can't find that anywhere but in conjecture and speculation, I can't believe it. And since there is no 7-year tribulation and that period is a fantasy, and God is not dealing with Israel during a separate 70th week, because the 70th week has already passed. It actually followed the 69th week. Because the problem with that is, if you have the 70th week in the future, then what happened to the real 70th week, you know, the one that followed the 69th? What do you call that week? 71? We just skip that number altogether. Oops, the 70th is in the future. We'll go to 70, week 71 now. No. The scripture does not support a gap in it. That's why the scripture excludes the pre-tribulation rapture thesis altogether. It's only there to vindicate the Antichrist as being an end-time Antichrist only, and not the seat of the papacy, the man of sin. So what happens? Okay, during that period, I think that we're going to be quite busy. I mean, we could be busy for 7 years easily without even worrying about what's going on in the world around us. And then all of the people. Yeah. Tom W. says, I think we will continue to work on building the kingdom with less opposition. Okay. Now, before that happens, we know that the whore is judged with fire, and the 10 horn beast powers turn on the whore and destroy her. That happens before Christ comes, before the last trump. At least that's the timeline I have in the scripture. But when Christ comes and we see him and we meet him in the air, because he comes with the clouds in the same way that he left, he's going to return in like manner. And we join him and we return with him. And for 7 years, we're going to have a great family reunion. People we've known in our lives, in our family, and our ancestors, and our direct descendants, and then people we haven't met. maybe some of the apostles or people who affected our lives before we were born, things like that. I mean, it's going to be quite a reunion. And so I believe that's when the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place. That will be a 7-year celebration. Will Jesus be able to handle that and deal with the world at the same time? I think so. I mean, after all, he is God. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I don't think we're going to be worried about them. And I believe Christ will be able to handle all the negotiations and stuff that are going, that they're going to feign, you know, peace or whatever. And then there's another thing. There's going to be the people that are going to see us and know that Jesus caught us up. They didn't make the resurrection, but some of them will come to Christ as an effect of that. They were already elect anyway, maybe. But, or they were already set to become elect, because people become part of God's church after that point in history. So a lot of our, we can't give up. Just pray for everyone in your family. And some of them may finally come after that and live out their lives on the earth and be witnesses for Christ after that. So that's why we need to keep praying for our family. We need to keep giving them the word, sending them sermons and articles and stuff, and keep feeding them and planting and sowing and watering until Christ comes, as long as we can. And meanwhile, while we're enjoying this reunion, this 7-year celebration, marriage supper of the Lamb, because I don't think it's just going to be a one-day thing. It just does not seem that a one-day thing would be dramatic and elaborate enough to match up with everything that we've seen in history. Okay? Yeah? With me on this? I mean, if there's anything I've learned by reading the Bible, is that God is into good drama. He is not against dramatic things going on to make his will and his way and his word and his omnipotence and his reign known throughout the earth. Drama is very important. And it will be a dramatic 7 years. And the marriage supper of the Lamb will be a dramatic thing. And the reunion and the meeting of God's people that have lived in the earth before and are now resurrected in their glorified bodies to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Yes, we will all be together and gather to him. And we will see him as he is. And we will be like him. What a reunion it will be. It is beyond imagination, beyond, but not beyond belief, because I know all of the promises of God are yes and amen. So I believe that the 7-year tribulation, there was not what they say it is, but it will be when Christ returns with all of the elect from Adam and Eve. Not just the elect of the church as the pre-tribulation raptures have it, because he's still dealing with Israel and they're not going to be resurrected till the end. No, that's not right. Because what about, say, Job? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Who was he talking about? Where was his faith? Is he going to miss out on the first 7 years of Christ's return, beginning the millennial reign of Christ, while he deals with the battle of Armageddon? Will it be at the same time, or will it be after the 7 years? I believe that the celebration comes first. The marriage supper of the Lamb comes first. Give the world 7 years to do their best, to gather themselves together, to fight God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the owner of the earth, with his saints. Yeah, they'll gather themselves together. And that's pretty much what I wrote about those, not as much as I'm elaborating now. But it gives you pause to think about how this will really play out if we stick strictly to the scripture and we look at the probable outcomes and the probability of what will actually happen without going outside the scripture and eliminating those things that the scripture eliminates, like the pre-tribulation rapture and a special 7 years just for the Jews. No. Everything, all of the promises to Israel, all of the promises to the patriarchs are fulfilled in Christ and his church. All of them. He was promised the Gentiles. It's all fulfilled in Christ and will be fulfilled in Christ and will continue to be fulfilled in Christ throughout the millennium and forever. All of it in Christ. There's no replacement theology. The fulfillment is in Christ. The fulfillment is the church. Israel, true Israel, in the Spirit, you know, as it was expressed to the prophet of old when he said, there are none, but I have yet 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And of course, their families. They were the elect that had not bowed their knee to Baal. They were the true church. The true church has always been from the beginning of time. The true church included Job, who said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. The true church included David, who was looking forward to the Messiah, all of them that were looking forward to the true prophet who came suddenly to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, who shed his own blood for our sins and put an end to the animal sacrifice by the sacrifice of himself, entering into the holiest of all and opening the way for us, for all of the elect from Adam and Eve to the very last that will join the first resurrection. And those that don't, the elect that are born or become part of his church after that event, well, they'll be raised up at the last day. Yeah, as the scripture says, and that's I write about in my final book, The Millennium Question. Now, all three of those books are available as a, what do I call that? Let me see, I have it here somewhere. Okay, oh yeah. Is the Revelation Enigma Decoded, which has all three of these titles on it here. As you can see, The Millennium Question, The Beast Apocalyptic, and An Exposition of the Revelation. I believe that you'll get a full diet on the historicist interpretation of the Revelation, a complete view. And that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you all for showing up. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. There's nothing more important. I'll see you next time.